Okay, this will probably be, unless you receive notice otherwise, the last share before Pesach. And as customary, we usually study the Haggadah before Pesach. So even though the Shita of the Vilna Gaon and the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov Emden is Yochel Me Rosh Chodesh, I would think that the Haggadah could be said. They interpret the words very literally, even before Rosh Chodesh, even from Rosh Chodesh onward, Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu. So between Rosh Chodesh, according to the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, of course, most of the commentaries disagree, but according to both the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, one is not allowed to say the Haggadah, at least as a text, from Rosh Chodesh until Pesach night. But it seems to me that that means to say it, to recite it, but to study it, of that would certainly be allowed, even according to the Gra and even according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Anyway, the Haggadah starts off with Halach Manya. However, this is the poor man's bread that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. It has reference to the matzah, because matzah is called lechemoni. The Gemara mentions many, many different reasons why matzah is called lechemoni. And one of the reasons is that matzah is called lechemoni because it's the type of bread that a poor man makes together with the man, his wife, working very quickly. It's the time, no time is allowed. The dough can't rise. It represents something that is made with speed. And a matter of fact, the text of the Rambam in the Halach Manya doesn't start off as our text starts off. Halach Manya, this is the poor man's bread, referring to the matzah. But it starts off with the Vehilu Yatzu Yisrael Mitzrayim. In a rush, did the Jews leave the land of Egypt? And in a sense, they're making reference to what we say later on in the Haggadah, Matzah zu shanu achlum hashum ba. Why do we eat this matzah? Ki lo hispik seikum shal b'seinu lahachmitz, because they left Egypt so quickly, there wasn't enough time for the dough to rise. Ad shenigla aleihem melech malchei hamlochim ugalam, until God, the King of Kings, redeemed them. It happened so quickly. And the Rambam's text, which is different than ours, there's a different emphasis, or a greater emphasis, I should say, in the Rambam's text in Matzah Zu. Uga'ala miyad. And he redeemed them right away. And I think I saw, perhaps it was in the notes of my uncle Shiram, I don't remember, that the purpose of the Halach Manya is to emphasize that the when we look at the Haggadah, we shouldn't see the Haggadah just from the perspective of telling over the events that happened when the Jewish people went out of Egypt. It's not talking just about the past, But it's talking about the present. It's talking about the future. It's talking about the gula that we're looking forward to taking place with Mashiach, with the coming of Mashiach, with the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the restoration of the Karbanos, especially the Karban Pesach. So halach manya the chalav son of Bar Mitzrayim, this bread that's symbolic of quick, just as the gula there took place in a very short period of time, this future gula can also take place in a very short period of time. Kol dichvin yeseh v'echol. Whoever is hungry, let him come in and eat. We extend an invitation. Kol Ditzrich, whoever is in need of the Karban Pesach, Yesei Yiftach, let him join us for the Karban Pesach. And the question is very well known. The Karban Pesach is only Lemenuyav. It has to be done earlier. There has to be agreement before the Karban Pesach is given. Who is in what group to eat the Karban Pesach? How could we, Pesach night, say, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh Miyiftach, whoever wants to join us for the Karban Pesach? And furthermore, there is no Karban Pesach today. Who are we kidding? And the Brisker Rav, I think, I saw in notes that was published, the Brisker Rav said that the Jew is standing this year, and he knows there's no Karban Pesach, but he's looking forward to next year when there will be a Karban Pesach. And he's saying, Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, whoever is hungry, let him join us this year for the Seder. Kol Ditzrich. But next year, whoever needs a Karban Pesach, we're extending an invitation now for next year. We're looking forward to next year when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, when the Karban Pesach will be given, when we will be sitting b'chabura, we will be sitting as a group and partaking of the Karban Pesach. Hashata Abde. Now we are slaves. We're servants. We can live in beautiful houses, but we're still slaves. It's not that many years since the Holocaust, when Jews who lived in Germany in beautiful houses were dragged to concentration camps. We're still slaves. Jews are being attacked on college campuses. Jews are being attacked on the streets. And just like there were Jews who didn't want to be free, 4/5, according to our sages, of the Jews died in Makas Choshech, who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. There are many Jews who think that they have it good here. And some of them will join in the protest against their fellow Jews. And they are the biggest slaves of all. because they don't look forward to a redemption. They have given up. Hashata Abde. Now we are slaves. Lashana Haba B'nei Chore. Next year we'll be free. And of course, I forgot to mention Hashata. So Hashata Hacha. Now we're here in Galus, in exile. There were those Jews who mistakenly thought that Berlin was their redemption. And there are those who perhaps will not verbalize it, but will suggest that in America, the land of democracy, they have come to the ultimate redemption. The Shana Ba, Ba'arad Yisrael. The only ultimate redemption is when we'll be in Eretz Yisrael, when we'll be B'nai Chorin, and there we will be B'nai Chorin, and there we'll be free. So this perspective that the Brisker Rub suggested, and it's also, I think, based on what my uncle said, is that the Halach Manya, which aside from the Kiddush, is the opening statement of the Haggadah, the introduction to the Haggadah, tells us that the Haggadah is not a book about the past. It's not telling us a story about the past, or not only about the past. It's telling us about the future also. It's inspiring us about the future. And of course, it connects the future with the past. And we have to understand where do we see this in the Haggadah? And every year, when we encounter current events, sometimes we can draw analogies, draw inspirations, draw concerns from the events that overtook our ancestors in the past. The Haggadah is a book, not just about a past story, but it connects the past with the future, with the present, using the present to connect the past with the future. And unfortunately, there are those who see the book, that see the Haggadah, only as retelling events about the past. And it's interesting when you take a look at the question of the Ben Russia, of the rebellious son. What does the rebellious son say? What is this service? What good is it for you? It's not relevant anymore. It has to do with something that perhaps happened thousands of years ago. And even the freedom that was achieved at that time, the Ben Russia will say, has been lost so many times throughout the duration of Jewish history. But we connect it. We connect ourselves in the present and with the future. We connect it with the past. The Exodus is relevant to me because past, present, and future are connected. And as far as the Ben Rush is concerned, who only views things from the perspective of the present. Ilu Hayasham, had he been there at that time, he talks about relevancy. He wants to identify redemption with his period of time. Lo Hayanigo, he would not have been redeemed. Why wouldn't the Ben Russia been redeemed at that time? But the answer is, why did 4/5 of the Jewish people, 4/5 of the Jewish people not leave Egypt? They died in the Machas Chodesh, in the plague of darkness. Why? Because they only lived at that time. Yes, they were slaves in Egypt. But very often what happens, even those that are enslaved, even those that are abused, I identify with their abuser. I identify with their master. Because they're not able to see a future. They're not able to see the future of the Jewish people entering Eretz Yisrael. To them going to the Midbar, in spite of all the miracles that they saw, there is a certain degree of security, psychological security, in terms of the status quo. Even if the status quo is very bad. And this is compounded with the fact that they have admiration for their abuser and their enslaver. It's a psychological fact that people who are taken hostage, sometimes people who are enslaved, identify with their oppressors. They want to be part of that group. They identify themselves that way. Somehow in that mind, that gives them a better self-perception of themselves. And there were many Jews, then as well as now, that had that perception. And they didn't want to leave Egypt. And it's very interesting when, and this is the Ben Russia. The Ben Russia says it's not relevant. It was thousands of years ago. But even if thousands of years ago, if he had been living thousands of years ago, he would not have wanted to leave Egypt either. Because he's not able to connect past, present, and future. And somebody who only sees the present, even when he sees the miracles in front of his face, but if he's not able to see the future, he will say he wants to stay in Egypt. And it's interesting, after dealing with the four sons, The Haggadah says, Yochum Erosh Chodesh. I would think, and I discussed it a little bit, I'm not going into it too much now. I would think the mitzvah of reciting the Haggadah begins at Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu, I mentioned in a previous year, I think 2 weeks ago, that we need a special Gzeres HaKasav to tell us that the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of talking about the events that took place in Egypt, begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not on the 15th of Nisan. Why would I have thought that? That on the basis of logic, it should have started at that time. But I mentioned what my father said, because the first mitzvah was given Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of establishing the Jewish calendar. And in a sense, that represents the beginning of the spiritual gula. And if I could add the words, my father said the spiritual gula, I would add also the word, to a certain degree, the psychological gula. Why was Rosh Chodesh the mitzvah of the calendar given as the first mitzvah? So the Sforna says, because when they were slaves, time was not in their own hands. They were slaves of time. So their redemption began with giving time over to them and declaring the new month that was symbolic of the fact that time belongs to them. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hamzmanim, who sanctifies the Jewish people, our sages say, who sanctify the times. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, Avdei hazman hem avadim la'avadim. The slaves of time are the slaves of slaves. Avdei Hashem, heim rak b'nei chorin, but the servants of God, they are truly free. True freedom manifests itself in being a master of time. And those who are slaves of time are the slaves of slaves, not just because they're slaves of time, but to become the slaves of man, and they have a servile perspective as well. It's interesting that the Haggadah then goes on to say, "Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu," that originally our ancestors were idol worshippers. And one has to ask the question, why does it say metchila, from the beginning? But bitchila, I should say, in the beginning, our ancestors, v'afshav, now, kirvanu hamachim lavodoso, and now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to his service. But I think this paragraph of the Haggadah talks about the spiritual slavery. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to become Avdei Hashem, servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avadai hei below avadim la'avadim. There is a conflict between being servants of God and being servants of man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing us close to his service. In a sense, challenges us. And at the same time, enables us to resist being the slaves and the servants of man, of the different paros. And throughout history, there were many paros. We say in the last, the next Haggad, in the next couple paragraphs, Shlo echad bulvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. It's not just one. We tend to think that our oppressors are of the past, especially those that like to think of themselves as good Americans. We're in the land of the free. There were Jews in Germany that believed that as well. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation. And we could add, in every land. Omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. Hashat tahacha. We are now here. We see that in the university campuses, Jewish people are being attacked. And what do you think is going to happen when these attackers, after they graduate schools, occupy positions of authority? You think they're going to all of a sudden fulfill the commandment of Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha, even from their perspective? They will gather together groups who have nothing in common. To oppress the Jewish people. So what happened in the past repeats itself in every generation. It has relevancy in every generation. And if we don't learn from the past, then we could suffer the fate of some of those of our ancestors, the fate that they suffered in the past. We have to be on constant guard. And you take a look, it's interesting. And when we want to ignore the fact, so, and we try to join, we try to identify ourselves with other people, and we try to become culture. There's no problem in being cultured, but sometimes there's a red line, and that can result almost in idolatry, actual idolatry, and it can result also in idolatry. Not trying to identify with them. We have to be careful not to identify with them. We can try to succeed. We can work to help our country, our people. We have to be loyal citizens. But we have to know that our first commitment is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Klal Yisrael and to the Torah. And through the Torah, we demonstrate our commitment to Klal Yisrael. We see ourselves as part of Klal Yisrael, as part of the Jewish people, and we have to see ourselves as servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah says that Pesukim in Yoshua that is quoted here, that the Akach es Abichem as Abraham, I took your ancestor Abraham, Me'ever Hanor, from the other side of the river. In a sense, it was necessary for Abraham to cut himself off. To the land that I'll show you, where I will have a special relationship with you. And I made his descendants many. And I gave him Yitzchak. That was the beginning of the many descendants. And I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, Jacob, and Esav. And I gave Esav Har Seir, Mount Seir, as an inheritance. Yaakov Avon of Yardu Mitzrayim. And Yaakov and his descendants and his children went down to the land of Egypt. And the question is, what's the significance of the fact that Yaakov went down to Egypt? And of course, we know that he went through slavery. His descendants went through slavery, even though Yaakov himself was revered in Egypt. And we sometimes like to look at the Jewish people who held prominent positions in the country we were. And that gives us a false feeling of security about the future. So, and there is a question that the Brisker Rav raises. He says, once we mention Esav, why do we mention Esav? Okay, he was the son of Yitzchak, just like Yaakov was. We want to point out the difference. So how come we don't mention Yishmael? Why is it we make no reference to Yishmael? Why do we say Ve'etein lo in regard to Avram? Why only Ve'etein li Yitzchak as Yaakov as Esav? And the Brisker Rav says, based on the Yesod of Reb Chaim, that Yishmael from birth was excluded to be the successor of Avraham Avinu. Tivi Yitzchak yikara l'chazara. From Yitzchak will be your descendants. But our sages say, the Joshua, Tivi Yitzchak, from Yitzchak will be your descent, your seed. But not all of Yitzchak. But there's a difference. Yishmael was excluded from birth, from being the successor of Avram. Whereas Yaakov and Esav each had the ability to be the successor of Avram and Yitzchak. But only one of them could be the successor. And it wasn't determined, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, but it was not yet halachically determined at their birth who would be the successor. So Yeshua wanted to point out that Esav was not the successor. The successor was the one who underwent what was told in the Bris Bein Absarim to Avraham Avinu. What was told in the Bris Bein Absarim to Avraham Avinu? Ki ger yiyah zarecha b'aretz lo lahem. Your descendants will be immigrants in a land that doesn't belong to them initially before they start their own nation. Then they will become slaves. And only later, and only later, they will go out. They will form their own nation. And later, they will have their own country. And the question is why? So Esav, he starts his nation right away. So he did not become the successor to Avram and Yitzchak. But the question is, why is it that it was necessary for Yaakov, in order to be the successor of Avram and Yitzchak, to go through the abuse of not being able to start his nation right away, of having the first generations being slaves, of suffering torture? Why was it necessary? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Jewish people should be a unique nation, that the Jewish people should be a perpetual nation, that they should be able to overcome all kinds of circumstances that they would destroy and crumble other nations. It's very interesting. This week's Sedra, Torah talks about Bris Mila. The Maral, very famous Maral, he says, why? Why is Bris Mila identified with the eighth day? It really has a basis in the Ramban, Chumash. Why is Bris Mila identified with the eighth day? Shmini Atzeres is identified with the eighth day. Eight represents, the Maral says, l'mala min ha-teva. That's above nature. The world was created in 7 days. Eight is above nature. And the question is, what does Bris Mila have to do with being above nature? What does Shmini Atzeres have to do with being above nature? But the 7 days of Sukkot, we know, is dedicated to the nations of the world. Karbono sacrifices, 70 Purim, were given on behalf of the nations of the world. And the eighth day, only one par is given on behalf of Klal Yisrael, on behalf of the Jewish people. The nations of the world are subject, just like there are laws of nature, there are laws of history that are part of the laws of nature. There was a professor at the University of Chicago many, many years ago who found fault with the Jewish people because the Jewish people did not adapt to the ways of the other nations in adapting from the culture of the nations that they defeated. The laws of history do not apply to the Jewish people. There are laws of history, just like there are laws of physical nature. But there are laws of history also. But Shmini Atzeres represents the Jewish people being above the nations of the world. The nations of the world, when they encounter difficult circumstances, they crumble as a nation. The Jewish people are able to overcome these negative circumstances. And where did they get this ability? They got this ability from the fact that they got this ability because in their very foundation as a nation, they encountered difficult circumstances. The Jewish people, one of the reasons there was Shibud Mitzrayim, there was Golus in Mitzrayim, was for the Jewish people to have this ability to be an eternal people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted with regard to Jewish people, joining past, present, and future. And the past was used as paving the way for the future. Sometimes, by the nations of the world, for the most part, it's the past events that cause the future events. For the Jewish people, very often, it's the future events that cause the past events. And Esav wanted to start his nation right away. And that was the trait of Esav. The nation of Esav was interested in the present. And Esav himself was only interested in the present. When Esav came from the field and he saw Yaakov making a pot of lentil soup, red lentil soup, and Yaakov told him, why is he making a pot of red lentil soup? The Medrash says, Ki meso sozokein, that elderly person, Avraham Avinu, our grandfather, the one who was so close to God, the one who was promised that he will have a nation, a descendant, that he descendants who will form a nation. Mace, he died. And in Esav's mind, it was all over. He said, in Mesosa Zokain, if that elderly person, Avraham Avinu, passed away, in Din Vein Dayan, there is no judge and there is no law. To him, the lentil soup was in the present. The Bechorah, the birthright. What was the significance of the birthright? That was the future. That was the Jewish people of the future receiving the Torah, going to Eretz Yisrael, being an eternal people. To him, that wasn't important. I'm interested in the now. And in the now, there was the lentil soup. Anochi Holech Lomas, he said, I'm going to die. V'lomali b'chora, the future is unimportant. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's only the present that's important. And the truth, you take a look, Chazal tell us that when Avraham Avinu sent his servant, who's Moshe B'chol Beiso, who was trusted by Avraham over everything that took place in his household, to seek out a wife for Yitzchak, he sent him to his birthplace. Get someone from my family. They were all over there, Avodah Zarah. They were all worshiping idols. And Eliezer was somewhat upset. He felt that Yitzhak should marry his daughter. After all, she was brought up in the house of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham said, no. She's Aror, she's cursed. And B'ni is Baruch, and my son is blessed. And curse and bless, blessing can't come together. What's the idea? But the idea is the following. Interesting, the Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu was going to the Akedah, when he got the decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take Bincha Yechidcha Shahavta and take him to Har Moriah and put him up as a karban on the altar over there. And Avraham takes a trip Al Har Moriah to Har Moriah. And together with Yitzchak, together with a donkey, Ushneina Ravito, and two servants were with him. And the Medrash says, who was the two servants? The Das Kenim Baal Tosfos mentions the Medrash. It was Eliezer and Yishmael. Yishmael was the son of a Shivcha, of a maidservant. To a certain degree, he still had the perspective of servitude. And Eliezer was a servant, great man, Moshe b'chol beiso. Our sages say, Gadol sichasan, the Torah gives more space to the speech of the Avdei Avos, to Eliezer, that it mentions in regard to many halachos. So at that time, Eliezer was certainly a person of great esteem, but nevertheless, he was an eved. He was a slave. And Vayar, after 3 days of traveling, Avraham Vayar Samakam Erachok, he saw the mountain, he saw Har Moriah, the place where the Akedah was going to take place, which was the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he turns to Yitzchak, and he says to Yitzchak, what do you see? And Yitzchak says that he saw the same thing as Avraham. Hanoa Niroa, I see a beautiful mountain. But Anan Kashur Aleha, and a heavenly cloud is attached to it. That's why it's called Hamakom. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Hamakom. He was able to identify that place where the Beis HaMikdash ultimately would be built as the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The place where God would be. And then he turned to his servants, or those who had the servile attitude. He told, turned to Yishmael. He turned to Eliezer and said, what do you see? They said, we don't see anything. There was nothing special. There was a mountain there. There was no one on Kosher Aleha. What's the idea? The idea is there are those that can see Shechina. There are those that can see Shechina close up, but they can't see it from afar. And there are those who could see it from afar. The Jewish people, after Kriyas Yamsuf, they were able to say, Zeh Keli Banveyu, this is my God. And I'll build for him a Beis HaMikdash. But that impact didn't last. Rasa Shivkalayam. They were the maidservant at the sea. They were still had a servile perspective. Mashallah Ra Yechesto Ben Buzi, what Yechesto Ben Buzi. So, why is it? They saw more than Yechesto Ben Buzi, but they were able to see the Shekhinah only when it was right in front of them. Meirachot, from afar, from the future. They weren't able to see it. They didn't have, they weren't able to connect past, present, and future. There was a wedge between the present and the future. A slave is a slave of time. They only have the present. Eliezer's daughter could not be a name of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to be a real parent? Today, unfortunately, we have parents that focus only on the present. Their focus is on the awards that the children might receive now. But the future life, the Mesorah that they'll give over to future generations, that's not right in front of them. That's Merachok. It's far away. Too far for them to see. Too far for them to be concerned about. Like Esav, they can say, Anochi Holeich Lamos, I'm going to die. That's not important. And when we talk about the Jewish community, are we talking about the future or are we talking about the present? Very often, our focus is about the present. And this is not just an issue in the Jewish community. This is an issue throughout the world. When we make peace treaties, do we think about the future or we think about today? Remember how the United States thought, oh, we'll build up the army in Afghanistan. And we'll let, and even before, no steps were taken to prevent the destruction of the government in Afghanistan. Even before they were able to get out, the government that they thought would last for a period of time crumbled. Why? Even in the secular world, they don't think about tomorrow. They're only thinking about today. And sometimes when you think only about today, it doesn't even last the whole day. And that's the trouble with all the peace treaties that have been imposed upon the Jewish people in the recent past. My uncle said, my grandfather said, Bakei Shalom Baratehu. All the peaceniks, this is everything goes peace now. Peace now. What does peace now mean? Peace now in the present, today, this hour. What's going to happen tomorrow isn't important. Sometimes we have to be concerned about tomorrow as well. And sometimes what we do today will negate tomorrow, not just for our grandchildren and our children and even for ourselves. My grandfather would say, Bakei Shalom V'Ratveyu doesn't mean search for the peace and run after it, but search out the peace, make sure it's a true peace, and then run after it, and then go after it. people who run after peace, but there is no peace. And this is what we have to learn from all these peace treaties. And what is it we say? They talk about that if we're attacked, we only can attack in the same way they attacked. We can only, if they kill 100, you kill 100. Of course, they don't say about the other stuff that they do, the raping and all that stuff, Chas v'Shalom. But what is this idea grounded in? Proportional. What is it grounded in, proportional? I mentioned proportional was grounded in vengeance. They take it literally. They accuse the Jews of believing in the Torah Shebichsav independently of the Torah Shebaal Peh, an eye for an eye. And they're the ones that demand that of the Jew. When we go to war, we don't go to war for vengeance. We go to war to prevent ourselves from being killed. We learn from the past what the intentions of our enemies are. And we don't fool ourselves. Yes, we have to focus on the past. We have to learn from the past. But we don't remain in the past. We have to go into the future and take the experience of the past with us into the future and apply it to the future. This is the idea. Avraham and Yitzchak, Bayaris HaMakom Erachok, they saw the future. They saw the Shechina from afar. Eliezer, as great as he was, could only see the Shechina when it was right in front of him. He was a slave. A mother, to be a mother of Klal Yisrael, you have to be able to focus upon the future. Rivka was able to focus on the future. To hear, to her, she was focused on the future. She knew that Esav could not be the successor. Esav, who said, Anochi holeich lamas v'lama li b'chora, he did not have this sense for the future. But Yaakov had the sense for the future. That's why Yaakov, and that's why Yaakov had to go down to Egypt, because he had the sense of the importance of a perpetual people, to get the ability for future descendants to overcome negative circumstances. And Vehi Shamda, and it's interesting that we say, Baruch Shomer Haftachas Yisrael, blessed is the one. We're about the Bris Plain of Sarim. So those, according to our Girsa, our text, Shomer Haftachas Yisrael, is only talking about the Gula that happened from Egypt. But the Rambam's text in the Haggadah is Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mechashev Es Hakeitz, Kamo Shamar L'Avraham Avinu. We have Chishev Es Hakeitz. God computed the end of the slavery. He computed it in such a manner that it should be somewhat shorter than 400 years. But the Rambam's gears is Mechashev Es Hakeitz. What he did at that time, he's doing now in terms of our present exile. In terms of our present exile. Because Pesach is not just talking about the past event. Pesach is talking about a relationship that was established by Avram with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that perhaps manifests itself with the descendants at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the time that they went out from the land of Egypt. But that continues to this day. Mechashev es hakeitz. And we have to understand that everything we are undergoing today, it's all part of the Bris Bein HaBsarim. It's a repeat of the Bris Bein HaBsarim. B'hisham d'alav oseinu v'lanu. That's what stood up. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodam. God is saving us from their hands, even today. And when is it that it's Banitzhak El Hashem El Hoseinu? Where did the tide change at that time when we cried out to God? We have to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, that doesn't mean, on the other hand, we say, Matitzhak Eli, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael B'Yisrael. There are times when we have to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now also. But it's also Daber El B'nei Yisrael B'Yisrael. But we can't let the crying out to God stop us from the Yisrael and going further. We have to, and when we go further, we're not going further just for one day. We're going further for all eternity. And the problem with all these peace treaties and the perception that the people, we, to a certain degree, we are enslaved, not necessarily in doing work, but we're enslaved by the nations of the world, by those who tell us, why is it? You know, I'm 74 years old, and I saw the first war that I remember as a boy that the Jewish people underwent was the Sinai campaign. I still remember listening to the news about the Sinai campaign. Can't say I understood so much about it, but it drew my interest. The Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, the Lebanon War, war after war after war. What always happened? At the last moment, our good friends, those who identify with us, those that are our allies, and sometimes our allies can do worse for us than those that we recognize as enemies. Say Lomad, my BK Shlovan Arami, Lovan, the father-in-law of Yaakov. He considered himself a family member. But he also, a policy that would destroy the Jewish people. BK Shlach Chorus, I call. We have to be suspicious, not only those who make Zeros decrees against us, not only those who say, Kol HaBein HaYilod Tashlichu, throw the boy in the Nile River, not only those that appoint people to whip us, to enforce slave labor against us, but even those who come in friendship. Yaakov Avinu, when Esav was coming, he made the prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from the hands of my brother, from the hand of Esav. And the Beis Halevi says, why do you say, Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav? Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. Should say, save me from the hand of my brother Esav. But Esav sometimes comes in brotherhood, in friendship, and in an alliance. But even then, Hatzilenina, save me. All these times we had these wars, the Jewish people had the ability at a certain point to eliminate the threat over them. But the United States, they wanted the Jewish people to survive. They wanted Israel to survive as a nation. But they didn't let them have the situation where there wouldn't be a threat over their existence. Always at the last moment, at time. You can't do any more. When it came to the United States' own existence, I remember when in September 11th, if you're not with us, you're against us. If you don't join us in the battle. And Israel is attacked when, unfortunately, aid workers get killed, which happens in every war. But I don't see, they don't remember how aid workers were killed in Afghanistan. That was a price of war. But when it's done by the Jewish people, that's murder. Why the United States wants Israel to survive for their own reasons, but they want them to constantly have a threat over them. They want Israel, the Jewish people, to always be dependent upon them. They want the Jewish people to have a present, but they don't want the Jewish people to have a future. They want the Jewish people to have a servile perspective. And you can have lives of momentary presence. But it's all presence. There's no future. The Jewish people need a future in the present. They have to be able to connect past, present, and future together. And this, the United States doesn't want to allow them to happen. And this is what Pesach night is about. It's interesting, we say, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we say in the Haggadah, Hare ani kiben shivim shana v'lo zechisi shetayam mar yetzias mitzrayim b'leilos, ad shedor sheben zomu l'man tisvi yom tzeis l'meretz mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah of not only telling the story of the Exodus, Pesach night, but making mention of the Exodus every day and every night of the year. But the Chachamim say that the mitzvah is only in the day, but that mitzvah, the Chachamim say, applies not just now, but even after Mashiach comes, the mitzvah applies. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Azai, they say it won't apply when Mashiach comes. Will the Jewish people constantly, of course, Pesach night they will, but will they constantly talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? So, but every day they'll make reference to the ultimate redemption, the redemption from the nations of the world. The focus won't so much be on the Exodus. And Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer says the mitzvah of Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rav Chaim disagreed with that, but the Alaman Tizkor is Yom Tzeischam Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, that you should remember all the days of your life, the day you went out of Egypt. When Mashiach comes, that mitzvah will be a mitzvah of reminding ourselves how God redeemed us with the coming of Mashiach from the nations of the world. But the pasuk is Leman Tizkor Yom Seisam Eretz Mitzrayim. It's in the Eben Ezra in Hilchos Kriya Shema. The pasuk talks about the exodus from Egypt. And he says the nature of the mitzvah is going to change according to Ben Zoma. Until Mashiach comes, we'll talk only about the exodus. But once Mashiach comes, instead of talking about the exodus every night, we'll make reference to the Jewish people being redeemed from the nations of the world with the coming of Mashiach. But the pasuk is talking about the exodus from Egypt. But the answer is the exodus from Egypt represents the beginning of a special relationship. But that's a relationship that just began with the exodus. It continues to this day, and it continues till Mashiach's coming. And when Mashiach comes, and we make reference to Mashiach's coming and our redemption, that will be the continuation of that relationship. The mitzvah is reminding us of that relationship. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Le'elokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's the relationship that we established through the Exodus, and that relationship continues. It's all, according to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, it's all part of that mitzvah. So even in the Haggadah also, it's important to use the past to connect the past together with the present and the future. Yibana Mikdash, we say after the Haggadah, of course, that's just a minhag. And we say, Hashata Hacha Lashana Haba Barad Yisrael, that's the introduction. In other words, when we read the Haggadah, we have to understand the Haggadah is not just a story about the past. So this is what the mitzvah of Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is. The mitzvah of Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is to take the past, but to connect the past with the present and with the future. And that's the Hagdama to the Haggadah. And we have to use that in our time also to understand it's not enough to have past in the momentary, fleeting moment of the present. But we need a piece that offers us a perspective for the future. Okay.
If anyone has questions, please put them in the chat.